Okay, David's gonna be late. I'm gonna kind of start out with some music. And then I guess I'm gonna be monologuing until somebody calls in. Hello and welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons, for the most part. We already broke that rule once. But nonetheless, I guess because I'm the only one here right now, I'm going to do a continuation of last week's podcast. As the song kind of goes, as I just played, where do all the nice guys or good guys go to hide away? It seems to be a continuing problem. You know, nice guys tend to finish last. People argue that. I've seen and read where one woman posted Nice guys don't finish last. Chumps do. Yeah, pussies, basically. Like the pussification of America. And I kind of agree with that. You know, society, the New World Order, whoever you want to blame, we the people, have adopted these women's lib and women's equal rights, whatever, blah, 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 to the extreme. Now, I'm for women's rights, don't get me wrong. But we've gone to the other extreme, you know. We went from where women didn't have hardly any rights and women were, I guess, treated like property or however you want to terminology it, to the other extreme, to where now men are treated like trash and women just walk all over guys and have no respect for men. And also, actually, I got this other thing I want you to listen to, if I can find it. I know I have it in my computer somewhere. But basically, this woman was talking about romance. She was putting this high emphasis on romance and talking about how men in America are ignoramuses or whatever, and talking shit on men because men are not, in America, are not romantic. Or in the proper romantic sense, if you will. But yet, when you look at the, it's called the point-counterpoint, what did I name it? Point, I think I just named it point-counterpoint. But anyways, romance, point-counterpoint. But what it boils down to is women put such an unrealistic expectation on romance that they actually open themselves up to be taken advantage of. And we need to re-educate men and women in this country, probably other countries as well, as to what's proper, you know, like Emily Post. You know, I study Emily Post's programs on etiquette. And a lot of nice guys tend to follow those type of regulations, where bad boys don't. Bad boys tend to be more fun, more aggressive, I'm not sure what else you want to call it. Exciting, you know, elusive. And nice guys tend to wear their, you know, hearts on their sleeves, and they tend to be a little retarded, whatever. But, you know, a nice guy is going to treat a woman right. A nice guy is going to worship a woman, you know, the way she deserves to be worshipped. And bad boys are just going to pretend like they're doing that in the beginning just to get in your pants, and then they can treat you like crap, use and abuse you. And I see that all the time, and it just drives me insane. But, you know, very rarely do I find a woman that actually knows how to appreciate and respect a nice guy. And I think I've pretty much found one already. You know, well, this year anyways, you know, I thought my last girlfriend was one who would appreciate me, but she just browbeated me and, you know, tried to force me into the codependent role, which I vowed never to go again. You know, I'm a recovering codependent. And, you know, my last girlfriend, she tried to browbeat me. She wasn't physically abusive, but she was emotionally and verbally abusive. And she tried to force me into the codependent role, and I just couldn't do it. I eventually broke up with her. Man, I was being codependent, but I knew what was going on. I was aware. And I was hoping it would change, but it didn't change. You can't change anyone. They have to change themselves, obviously. And I was hoping, you know, I was praying that, you know, the crap would stop, and it never did. It just got worse. So eventually I just said, enough, I can't take it anymore. But, I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, yeah. So, I've been single for over a year now. And I just met a woman, online, on a site that uses astrology, because I study astrology. I'm looking for astrological compatibility. And she contacted me, gave me her phone number, and we started talking. And, you know, she's attractive. I mean, she's hot. Not normally what I go for, but she's super hot, you know. But I'm sure she gets guys chasing her all the time. And I don't know, she picked me. And so we're talking, and I don't know, I was getting the impression she really wasn't that into me. But really she was. She was just holding herself back. For whatever reason, she's holding back. Actually, I know some of the reasons now, but I can't disclose them on air. And, but, you know, over time, I mean, she's still got all these guys after her, but she still picks me because I am a nice guy. Treat her with respect. You know, I'm not just looking to get in her pants, you know. I'm looking for love in all the right places or wrong places, whatever. But, you know, I'm looking for love. I'm looking for the real deal. I'm looking for, you know, a life partner. And I've been respectful this whole time, even through some of the communication issues that we've been having. And, everything else, you know, just being here for her like a friend. And she respects that, and it's good. There's still women out there for you nice guys. There's still women out there that respect and appreciate us for being genuine. Now we just got to educate the rest of them on, you know, what to be looking for. So I'm going to play this point-counterpoint deal by David D'Angelo. Basically, I study relationships. I study every different facet of relationships that I can possibly study, because that's like my main field of interest is relationships. The Bible is too. Theology. Community relationships, not just personal relationships, but business relationships, relationships in general. So I'm going to play this real quick before somebody clicks in, because it'd be kind of weird if they click in the middle of this. So let's go ahead and get this over with.
How to make your personality interesting. How to tell a story. There's a good book called How to Tell a Story. I'd recommend that you check it out. What's interesting? Drama, humor, scandal, pop culture, icons, fun things, movie, yeah. Interesting critique, formula of 90210, dynasty.
Anybody
Con
there?
Watch these things.
Hello.
And watch, but what are they talking about here? Watch the way
what's
they talk
doing
about them.
Hello.
Turn around when
hello.
Hey. What's happening? I didn't hear you click in.
Kind of crowded tonight, huh?
Yeah, it's just me monologue.
Okay, so where's David?
What?
He is relocating a goat.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the details are, but he's going to pick up a billy and transport it to a new location. Not sure why, what, how, or whatever, but he'll be in a little bit.
Huh. Well,
I was just watching a video that the guy was talking about how milk is a poison and contributing to all the breast cancer and the obesity problems in America. I just posted it on Facebook, so.
Probably the milk that you buy in a store, maybe not fresh milk out of a cow or goat.
Well,
goat's
milk
is the cow and goats raised on too.
Well, goat's milk is different, and the protein is different. The deal is, well, yeah, I mean, if it's a farm raised cow, then that's better. But the deal is we're told that you get calcium from milk. I mean, no, milk is a good source of calcium, when actually protein makes it difficult for your body to absorb calcium, and milk is protein. You know, that's what it is.
Right.
And that's without eating the growth hormones or antibiotics or anything, so.
All that other garbage, yeah. Well, we get most of our calcium from greens anyways. Right?
Yeah, he was saying that. And, I've been saying this for probably 25 years, and I just got tired. because people are going to do what they're going to do.
Oh,
Now other people are kind of are picking up the torch, and it's like, milk is not a good thing. But we are so brainwashed since day one,
Well, yeah. It's difficult to unbrainwash people who sit behind a TV and subscribe to the brainwashing.
Well, it's just not the TV. It's any media, any media. And that includes, the doctor says you need to drink at least three glasses a day to get your three to four glasses a day of milk to get your calcium. And it's like they're just parroting what they've been told. They don't really know, obviously. So, anyway. I posted a series of videos on truckers, and some of the amazing things that they could do with those trailers. I just, like back in a trailer, and now this was like in Texas, and the length restrictions in Texas are a whole lot different than they are in the other states. And this is one of those long trailers. I mean, it had four sets of wheels on the back. No, five sets of wheels on the back end. So you figure it was a pretty good sized trailer, and he backed it right down an alley. I mean, it was just amazing.
It was really long.
Yeah, really long. I mean, it wasn't. Yeah.
Oh. Well, the longer it is, the easier it is to back.
Okay, well, that you know that I didn't. It seemed like the longer it'd be, the harder it'd be. But as I think about it, yeah, okay, you got more distance to make corrections in.
Yeah, those short trailers are a pain in the butt to back, boy. I tell you what.
Yeah, and some of the you get a chance, you ought to look up Russian truck drivers. And I don't remember, it was just something I came across, and it was nothing stopped Russian trucks, and it was like how they were fording rivers and there was one that looked like it was going down a river, and there was, maybe 18 inches of the cab showing above the water, and that may have been stretching it. And it was just tooling down a waterway, I guess. And the picture started on a motorboat. The motorboat was zooming down the river or whatever it was, and then it came across and it had this at the side. It was this semi trailer or semi truck going. I don't know how it did it. Well, obviously it had to have snorkel and obviously it had to be set up for it, but it was amazing. It was truly amazing.
So it's kind of like those, jeeps and stuff that are set up to go in the water with the.
The military, the deuce, you know what a deuce and a half is? They got 16 tires on the back and two on the front. It's just a deuce and a half. I'm assuming that's a ton and a half, but that doesn't sound right because it looks like a whole lot bigger than a ton and a half. You've driven by one over in, oh my gosh. What town did you drive through off of 70 get to where David used to live coming from the north?
Coming from the north? That's looking
yeah. Nice. You know, off, you turn off of 70 and
yeah,
if I can't
13.
Even, is that 13?
Warrensburg.
I know. No, that's, it's not Warrensburg. It's not that far south or far west, east.
Right.
Anyway.
Oak Grove.
And you go from Oak Grove over to 50. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. And on the left-hand side in Oak Grove, there's a deuce and a half. Has been there for years. Anyway, it's a military transport truck or workhorse truck, and they're outfitted for water. And this buddy of mine has a picture of himself. He drove across a river in one, and it shows him with just his head above water.
Wow.
You know, the snorkel's above water, and he was sitting on the I don't know how he was driving it. He had, you know, you can lock the accelerator, so all he had to do is steer it, but he was hanging onto the steering wheel and just had his head above water, and he forded a river in it. It was pretty cool. I heard a ding. Does that mean somebody else is online?
Yes. The Wayward Host is now on.
Batman has joined us.
I was online
because I saw a water car. I guess it's made by Honda, and it looks like a Jeep. And you can drive it around town and then drive off into the water, and it becomes a boat. And you can drive that watercar.com. But I started Googling stuff because I saw that. I don't know where I saw that. And they have a submarine car, too, but you have to wear scuba gear because the car is not enclosed to where, like, a submarine would be normally. So
well, how does the engine run?
I don't know exactly, but it'll run underwater. I mean, it's actually a submarine car, but you have to wear scuba gear because it's not airtight for the seating area. I'm sure they make
it
at all.
The cab plugs, or there's just not enough oxygen in the cab?
Oh, right. They probably didn't have, like, a way to create oxygen for the cab.
Maybe it's an electric car.
Not sure.
Because you got to have oxygen to run, you know, internal combustion, so.
Right.
Well, theoretically.
Yeah, I don't know. They made it sound like a Jeep.
I'm trying to pull that off.
I'm sorry, David, what'd you say?
Maybe it's a nuclear car.
Right.
Okay, probably. There you go. Did you see the article where they've been using the Large Hadron Collider, and somehow they've been scanning the fifth dimension, and they have discovered classical music, and that, so the music is more than just what we hear. It's kind of like the light spectrum. You know, it's like how much the spectrum do we actually see? You know, just like a fingernail is worth compared to the whole spectrum between X-ray and gamma ray, or whatever is at each end. Anyway, it's real interesting that there's sound bounces around there that nobody can hear. At least we can't hear. We don't have access to because we don't perceive things in the fifth dimension.
Right. We're only in the third dimension, not the fourth.
Well, we three-dimensional is space is what we see. But we also hear things, and we also smell. I mean, is that a different dimension? You know, we feel things. So,
right.
Is that included within the three-dimensional space that we move about in, or is time a dimension? Oh, I don't know. I got more questions than answers today, to tell you.
Okay, so all of the psychic impressions and intuism, if that's the right terminology, that would be what, fourth or fifth dimension?
I don't know.
Intuitism. Intuitism.
Intuition?
Intuition.
Intuition.
There you go.
I don't know. It's all energy.
Well, we're adopting in a highway.
You're adopting
yep.
a highway.
Yep.
Okay.
AD&D is adopting a highway.
So that means you're going to be policing it, right?
Just cleaning it.
Well, that's what you call cleaning is policing the area, right?
We'll be policing the ditches.
You're going to be policing the ditches, okay?
Yeah, one mile south and 1 mile north of the property.
So, oh, 2 miles.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and why? Is it a tax deduction?
No.
No.
Free sign. Two free signs.
What?
Two free signs.
Okay.
Yeah. Publicity, I guess, but also, you know, we're environmentalists. We're tree huggers.
Got to
keep
David busy, huh?
We're ditch huggers.
Pretty garbage disposal.
Okay. You should say that, David. People will start dumping trash along there.
Oh, shit. They won't be so free.
Well, we'll be composting anything biodegradable, and then we'll be bagging the rest and putting it to the curb for them to take.
Opening up a roadkill cafe.
Hey, we can do that.
Barbecue stand. Roadkill cafe.
Woo-hoo. But only the kosher.
There you go.
Only kosher roadkill. We only serve kosher roadkill.
Yeah, there is no such thing. You're not supposed to eat carrion.
You're not supposed to eat carrion, no.
Yeah, so it doesn't even matter if it's a kosher animal. It's not kosher if it's carrion.
If it's not what?
Okay.
It's not kosher if it's carrion. If you find it laying dead, it's not kosher.
Oh, got it. Well, what if you killed it?
If you're the one who hit it, I suppose.
That's funny.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Everything. Roadkill Cafe.
Okay. Yummy.
Connie asked me what we're talking about. Like, okay.
We talk about everything, but Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
I think Roadkill Cafe has already been taken, though. I think somebody actually has done that.
Oh, yeah. It is. There is a place. There is a cafe called Roadkill Cafe.
Yeah, you bring it in, they cook it.
Serve Roadkill.
You bring it in, they cook it.
Yep. I have, Dave, I know you don't have time now, but you used to play a game on computer. And,
Mabinugi?
No. The one where you, I don't know what it was called. You turned me on to it. Anyway, and I've kind of, a game caught my eye was a article that I was reading about this new game called No Man's Sky. And it's different, supposed to. They have taught the game to develop itself, and I'm not sure if I'm putting that right. It creates itself. Okay, it's like, okay, if you've ever been in the first player game, that you look up at the sky, you see stars, right?
Okay.
But what you're looking at is you're looking at the inside of a box, and they're just points of light.
Okay.
In this game, you look up at the sky, and those are all places you can go, places you can explore.
Okay, so you're not looking at a picture of a sky. You're looking at a sky.
You're looking at a sky that you can pick a planet and go and explore it and I think they tried this once before. With a program on TV that was going to be modified according to the players, but it kind of crashed and burned. But this is different in that the computer is going to supposedly the program's going to do it on its own.
Sort of like Ender's Game did.
Kind of like what?
Ender's Game in the movie. Well, in the book too. Ender's Game, he had a psychological game that they allowed him to play that was tuned to each player and adjusted itself according to each player's psychology.
Well, I believe that was part of the deal, but then the queen of the bugs got into the computer and started, and it's like, so... Was that where it was modified? Was she the one that was modifying it, or was that with the original game that modified itself to each individual player?
Well, they modified the operating system to the point where the operating system became sentient. So,
okay. Well, became sentient, but the queen was the one that was contacting Ender in the end.
Yeah.
Through the game.
Yeah. Did you ever read the series? It's 8 books.
I did. I read them all. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
I think they ought to make another game or another movie out of it.
Yep. Personally, I think they should have done each book separately, but I think they threw the first 4 books together.
Well, I think as technology advances as far as what they can do with computers, they'll be able to do more. I mean, you know, it's like they couldn't have done what they did, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They'll be able to take over the world.
Well, you reach a point where you won't know, you know, yeah, it's like you won't be able to, it's like all entertainment. It's like you won't be able to tell whether it's real people or CGI.
Right.
You know,
well, yeah,
no.
You'll be wearing your Google glasses and your Google glasses break, and that alien that was in front of you in your Google glasses, you're expecting a human face because your glasses broke, and it's still an alien face.
Yep. Boy,
yeah.
There's a lot of talk on Facebook about aliens. They're here and now, and a lot of new sightings for things in the sky.
Somebody was telling me, I don't know if it was you or you guys, somebody's telling me that they've already done a three-dimensional hologram in open air, and supposedly the president showed up in one of those, and when it was time for him to say goodbye, he said goodbye, and he blinked out.
Okay. I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
Well, I don't know it either. It's just somebody told me that. So,
well, just recently they came out with a memory chip that is supposed to hold the entire history of the planet. I mean, like super super dense. It's they're encoding DNA. No, it wasn't DNA. It was using molecules for memory. And it's on the internet. It's like totally amazing. And if they had that kind of memory capability, then you know that's one of the things that limits what we can do with computers is memory. And now it's like at the max. So I'm thinking we're going to see some really amazing things in the next few years.
Yeah, that'd be scary.
It's pretty scary now. Well, you know, okay, technology, I think I told you about this friend of mine who's in the military, and his son said, you know, hey, Dad, you know, we got this, looked like a placemat, rolled up and you laid it out and it was a computer, and that was, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Oh,
and we don't
yeah,
have nothing. Okay, that just, yeah.
That on the podcast before the last podcast.
That was, that, yeah, and it's like, and now they have this kind of memory capability. Yeah, it's just, it's interesting times for sure.
Very interesting.
And I've had a shift in my energy lately, and I'm not sure what caused it. You see, I have this smooth. I'm still doing the smoothie, David.
Right.
Or Kano, and whatever, both of you.
David.
But just in the past week or so, it's like my energy went up two notches, and what I added turmeric to my smoothie. I do 2 teaspoons of turmeric in my smoothie every day. And
oh yeah, that'd be good.
Well, yeah, but I didn't imagine that it would do quite this. It's like holy cow. Okay, I get off work. I'm tired. I'm really tired.
Turmeric will increase appetite and helps you digest your food.
It is. Well, it's phenomenal. Okay. I got to be honest. It's like, you know, for a long time it's been get off work, eat, and in bed by 11, asleep by 9. Oh, wait a minute. Let me try this again. In bed by 7. Wait a minute. Okay. In bed
by
8.
Yeah, it's so confusing. You don't, it's so routine, you don't even know what you do anymore.
Last week, from Monday to Friday, I got like 4 hours of sleep every day. I was busting my balls helping this girl move. Every single day, Monday through Friday, with 4 hours of sleep every day. And I was pretty much going on my herbs and juice with the green powder. I was doing two scoops of the green powder, your green powder, and a half gallon of juice. And I was mostly going on that every day, just go, go, go. I ate once a day, I think, but I was mostly going on that and my herbs.
Okay. My taste buds changed. For a couple of days, it's like, oh, this tastes different. Either it tasted really, really good, or it didn't taste good at all. It's like the same thing I'd had before. And it's like, so it's like my taste buds were heightened. I don't know what's going on. You know, they talk about this photon belt that we're going through, and the energy is supposed to increase. Or in sunspots, and it's like, I don't know. Have you noticed anything, David?
Well, your taste buds being improved, that, again, would be turmeric. If you're doing turmeric.
Well, turmeric was one of the herbs I was taking.
Well,
turmeric itself doesn't have a whole lot of flavor, but once you're kind of hooked on it, you start craving it, you know?
Well, it's like, okay, my smoothie kind of varies in taste because I put different quantities in. I just got some red dates at the city market, and I've been putting that in it, so it changed the taste there. And I put pineapple in it, and just every now and then I shift it around. And it's like this last time I put turmeric in it to the point that it tastes like I was drinking curry sauce. I mean, it wasn't bad. It's like, oh, wow. It was strong.
There's a lot of variation in curry sauce, curry seasoning, but they all have large quantities of turmeric in them.
Yep. And I've been doing
a smoothie right now.
Most have cayenne, but occasionally I've seen some recipes that didn't even have that.
I don't use cayenne in mine. Well, I mean, wait a minute. You're talking about curry?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just depends on whether it's hot. It's a hot curry or not. I mean, I took mild curry and made it hot by adding cayenne to it. No cinnamon. I think if you add cinnamon, you get a different, entirely different flavor.
Because cinnamon can be hot, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you're making a sweet curry if you're putting cinnamon in it.
I don't know that you'd call it curry. Well, there are a lot of different recipes for curry, because curry is a combination of different spices. Coriander and all, I don't know now. All I know is coriander and turmeric is all I can think of right now.
Well, there's very few curry recipes that don't have cayenne pepper in it. Very few, even if they're sweet.
Okay.
It's just they'll tone it down if it's a sweet one.
Okay. Yeah, they're real bit on coconut milk, coconut curry.
Yeah. Coconut curry.
That was the first dish I believe I cooked for Connie when we were first going together was a coconut. Oh, it was coconut pork chops, and it's like, okay, well, it doesn't sound good now, but that was the deal then. And
well, I'm sure it tasted pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get away from. I'm having a hard time getting away from meat. It's like my body doesn't seem to do too well with beef anymore. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. She's a... Kano, have you ever had Ethiopian?
My second wife was Ethiopian.
Okay. So you had Ethiopian. Does that mean that she cooked Ethiopian or not?
No. Actually, she was Nigerian. I'm just kidding. But anyways. No. Well, I've had Ethiopian food. But it's been a long, long time since I've had it.
Well, let me tell you. You know, some
African foods that I've had was either Southern or Nigerian.
Okay, well, you know, you get into Kansas City, you got to go down the city market and go to the Blue Nile. Let me tell you, if you go down there at lunchtime, it's a buffet, and it's $8.95 for all you can eat. And let me tell you, you can just eat one plate. We go down there, every time I go down there, they tell me what I want, and I said everything. One of
everything. There you go.
And,
hey,
yeah.
I wonder if I could do that at that sushi place that we went to last month.
Sushi? I haven't had sushi in a long time. Have you been to Legends of Asia?
Yeah.
In Blue Springs?
Yes, very nice.
Yeah, that was. You went with us, didn't you, David? Did we do that together?
I believe that's how you found out about the place.
Okay. I haven't been there in a long time, so I'm assuming it's still as good as it was. But.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
My blender doesn't seem to be working.
Uh-oh. That ain't good.
I know. I'm trying to make me a smoothie. Can't do that with my thing to work.
What kind of blender do you have?
It's a Bullet. I bought it at Aldi's.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not a Bullet if you bought it at Aldi's.
No, well, it's not a neutral Bullet, but it's
okay.
A Bullet.
Okay, well, but see, there was the Magic Bullet, and then the Neutra Bullet, and then the Bullet RX.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this is. It's called Crofton.
It's not a Bullet brand.
And it's not working. I broke it.
Well, sometimes what happens is stuff gets down into the switch, and you need to take it apart and clean it out.
That might be what it is. Dang darn diddly.
Is your outlet hot?
Yeah, I just checked that.
Okay. That sucks.
Oh, well. This means I got to go buy a new one. Or take this apart and clean it, but I'll buy a new one for the meantime. Dang it.
I use oh my gosh. I use a Vitamix.
I need to get one of those. I think
the Ninja is real good. Yeah, okay, I say that. It's like I am...
Yeah,
the thing
I don't like about Vitamix is that spigot on the side.
They don't have a spigot anymore.
Good.
They don't sell it that way anymore. Because there's no way to clean it.
Right. I think Regina's got a Vitamix. Not sure.
But as far as a Magic Bullet, it's like I have probably burned up at least four Magic Bullets.
Nice.
Because, yeah, it's like every day. And then I went to the Nutribullet, and it doesn't make enough, you know, because when I make a smoothie, I make a half a gallon. No, I make, okay, what is that?
Well, this one's lasted me quite a while. I've had it since 2011, I think.
Not too bad. I burned up a couple motors. Yeah, my Vitamix is still hanging in there though. It's like I thought I might like to get an RX, but that's still not big enough. I think it's about a liter. That's what that makes. No, it makes more than a liter. Maybe it makes 2 liters. But I have collected those stainless steel water bottles, and I put them in there, put them in the fridge. It is, every day.
Every day.
Well, not today. I had coffee this morning.
That's nutritious.
Yeah, that's big time nutrition, isn't it? Get that
sugar in the liver. Hey, you know, there was just an article on how supposedly scientists have found out that coffee is a miracle cure and it possibly can cure liver damage.
Right, and pork is the other white
meat. It's like, what do you believe anymore? You know, it's just
if you do it enema style.
No, actually, it doesn't, because coffee enemas are not good for you.
What's that? Depends on who you read.
Yeah, Gerson says it does. Rothschild says no.
Well, Rothkranz.
Rothkranz, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that Rothkranz is, you know, 100% on point. But a lot of the things that he says, we agree with already. So he's pretty much on the right track as far as most of the things that he talks about. But... yeah, he definitely says no. Hell to the no for coffee enemas. Nothing more than just lukewarm water. But you know, when we were created by our creators, whoever they may be, did we do enemas then?
Probably. They probably screwed up and we needed some severe, because we don't produce any vitamin C. And that's, you know, every other animal on this planet produces their own vitamin C.
Right. But, I mean, if we eat enough stuff that cleans us out naturally, we wouldn't need an enema. We just eat our enemas, if you will.
Well, you know, if you're...
like that one day.
If you're a vegetarian and you're grazing, you know, you're going to have lots and lots of fiber. So,
exactly.
I think we only went south when we started eating meat.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I don't know if going total vegetarian is the way to go, but it's a good direction.
Okay, now wait. There's a difference between vegetarian
and vegan.
Oh, I understand.
Okay, vegetarian means eggs and cheese and chicken and
Yeah, what? Those are on plant.
What?
Chicken's not vegetables. I thought vegetarians only eat vegetables.
Okay, well, see, some people believe vegetarian means you don't eat red meat. You can eat everything else, but you just can't eat red meat. That's one understanding of vegetarian. And I always assumed that vegetarian was nothing with eyes, you know?
Okay.
And
if a fruitarian is someone who only eats fruit, then a vegetarian would be
some vegetarians eat fish because they said they were not animals.
What?
Fish is not an animal. What are you talking about?
Well, that would mean you can't eat potatoes because potatoes have eyes, right?
Right.
Nothing with eyes.
Yeah, I messed up the other day. I was telling Regina how to make a vegan mashed potatoes with cauliflower, and I wasn't even thinking about what I was saying.
Oh, you put butter in it?
Well, think about it. Mashed potatoes. Vegan mashed potatoes.
Well, that means without dairy. A lot of people put butter and dairy and milk in it. So, hey, we're okay. It's like, okay, I don't know whether I told you last time or not, but I did some cauliflower hash browns.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, but basically that's what I was saying. I was saying cauliflower as an alternative for potatoes, for mashed potatoes. And I called it vegan instead of alternative. And she's like, what? That doesn't even make sense.
You know? Oh, sure it does.
Vegan mashed potatoes using cauliflower instead of potatoes.
Yep.
But if we're going with the eye theory, that would work.
Yes. Can't have potatoes because they have eyes.
Right. So next time I talk to her, I'll tell her that.
Yeah.
Well, then there's my friend that says, you know, you are what you eat. So he only eats things that eat vegetables, so he's only eating vegetables.
Well, yes. You know, I just have a really hard time getting enough protein.
Oh. Well, what's the other sources of protein? I mean, I know we can get protein through...
Beans, lentils, nuts, seeds.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing about nuts is you get lots of fat, too. I mean, you know, fat is fat.
Meat.
What? Yeah.
Fat with meat, well, too, so what's the difference?
Well, it's different fats. Well, you know, it's like you can eat, my friend of mine, he put on a bunch of weight. He is vegan. Well, Luke. You know Luke,
yeah,
right?
Luke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He put on a lot of weight. Just he would do 2 avocados a day.
Yeah.
A bunch. He put on a bunch of weight, and it was, you know, it's fat. It's good fat compared to what you get with beef or pork or. I guess that's it. Anyway, but we were talking about potatoes and eyes and stuff, and it's like I have this problem with potatoes. It's like if I eat potatoes or tomatoes, I hurt. Arthritis, like pain. My joints hurt.
So you've got a problem with.
Nightshade.
Yep. Right. You have that temporary insanity thing that you was talking about?
What?
the temporary insanity thing that you was telling me about a couple years ago.
Rage?
Yeah. Our ability interferes with our ability to deal with stupid is how you described it to me.
Okay. Well, but also I think it's a heritage thing. Because if you think, what are Irish people known for? They're known for their temper, right?
The fighting Irish.
Right. Okay. Now, what do Irish live on? Potatoes.
Yeah.
And tobacco. And alcohol.
Right.
So.
The three best things in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Besides sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
And, yes.
Right. Okay, so potatoes. So you have issues with nightshade.
You're probably
more Irish than I am.
Well, so what you're saying is you don't have problems with it. The problems that you notice.
I can actually eat deadly nightshade, and it doesn't affect me at all.
Okay. Now, is that it doesn't turn you into an asshole?
I'm already an asshole.
That's going to turn into something you already
are.
Asshole.
Don't know.
Yo-de-yo. No, I don't think it does. I mean, I'll have to do some homework, but... I really don't eat a lot of potatoes or anything or tomatoes anymore. I did just buy some tomatoes, so I'll eat those tomorrow and see if I go run people over and say, "Boo, bitch, get out the way!"
Well, I think the thing is it creates a toxicity cycle in my body in that it, first of all, it's an inflammatory agent, the solanine in it, and then it also messes with absorption of protein.
Right.
And
solanine's a bad thing?
What?
Solanine's supposed to be a bad thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What? Blocking the absorption of protein? That could be good if you get too much protein.
Yeah, but that's not usually the case. I don't know. There's a lot of chemistry that I am pretty much clueless to. It's like I'm just going by my own experience, my own observations, and you know, I've talked to people that have arthritis real bad, and what comes to mind is there was this gal came in and she couldn't hardly get in the door. Because she hurt so much. And I was telling her about my experience with tomatoes, and she said, "You know, I just had a big plate of tomatoes." And then she called me back, and she said and she avoided them for a while, and she wasn't near as much discomfort.
Right. I can see that. I mean... Yeah, I don't really eat a lot of tomatoes or potatoes anymore. When I eat out, I hardly ever get fries. I always just get a burger, and that's it. You know, whatever the burger may be, whether it's chicken, fish, or beef. Although the new McRibs are out again.
Well, they're not
mystery
real pork.
Meat.
They're not really
meat.
Pork.
Yeah.
Mystery meat,
yeah. They're not
really
pork. They must be kosher.
Yeah, we went to McDonald's, and David was there. And I went ahead and ordered the McRibs. And David said something. I'm like, "Well, what? It's not real pork anyways." And the lady got almost offended. She's like, "What?" I said, "It's kosher. It's not real pork."
How dare you call our meal kosher?
Yeah. Right? But no,
okay.
I hardly ever eat pork, but, you know, I love the McRibs. But anyway, so I hardly ever get, I hardly ever eat tomatoes or potatoes. So, I don't know, maybe
you
that's
why really
the nice
tell.
Thing. Yeah, I can't
yeah.
really tell.
Because if I, if, it's like if I, I get a craving, it's like I'll get a bag of potato chips and I'll eat them all in 2 days. And it's like, and by the end of the 2 days, I'm just hurting. Can't hardly get out
oh.
of bed in the morning.
Yeah, I don't eat potato chips hardly ever. I would probably say I'm more of a fruitarian than anything. Well, that and a chocolatarian. But, but, yeah, I'm a chocoholic for sure. Not really. Actually, David Ray is worse than me, but I have to actually ration him chocolate reserves because he'll eat them all in like one day.
He's not kidding either.
No, it's like I bought like a bunch of chocolate and I gave half of it to him and it was gone in less than a week and I still had mine
probably
a month later.
A minute.
Well, okay, I was giving you the benefit of the doubt, but it was gone in less than a week, just a couple days. It was gone and mine lasted me like a month. I still had some left over.
My best rationing is you give me a fistful of chocolate, and I go for about 5 days only eating a little bit of it, and then all of a sudden, the rest of it's gone.
But no, like I said, I eat mostly fruit. I try to forage as much as possible, but obviously in the winter it's difficult.
Yeah.
But, I did find some chickweed the other day.
Really? Have you ever found a watercress?
Watercress.
I've been some growth down in Ozark County, but they warn in that area to have it tested before you eat it because a lot of times the water will be polluted, you know, people's septic tanks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess you can't. I mean, I've seen watercress all over around here, and it's like, yeah, I can't eat it. It's like I don't know how people can eat anything out of the river or waterways around here, with as contaminated as they are.
Right.
You know?
If you can find a good clean source, it tastes like mustard. It's got a mustard taste to it.
Yeah.
So if you compare the contaminants with the contaminants in the food that we eat in the store, what's the difference?
It can be a whole lot because you get runoff from fields.
I mean,
you get runoff from fields and you get herbicides and pesticides and solvents and yeah.
But the animals
I mean,
are eating it.
Yeah, and we're eating the animals, and we're getting sick.
A whole lot. Those animals might be dying, and you don't know.
True. I don't know that I've had watercress. We've got tons of wintercress growing on the land. That's pretty tasty. David turned me on to that.
Yeah. I find it
more
bitter. He likes it. I like some little bitter things.
Yeah.
Say again? I didn't hear you.
I can handle it more than you can.
Yeah, it's good and nutritious, but I can't eat it.
Our taste buds are just different. That's probably why.
So what is it you're growing out there, or are you adding anything to increase your...
We're growing wheat.
We're growing
yeah.
weed. We grow lots and lots of weed.
Well, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of plant, well, you know, like a kiwi berry.
Once a farm because I said that.
Okay. We're going to be growing whatever, but we were going to try and sublease out part of the field to the neighbors that are farming, or the, to the farmers that are farming the neighbor's field. But they turned us down because we want money for it, and they want to do it. They want something for nothing because they're getting it for nothing next door. So they expect us to give it to them for nothing. And I'm like, I can't afford to do that. So we're going to buy a bunch of seed, and we're going to plant something this year, big time. I don't know what.
Watermelon squash would be a good one.
There you go. So we're gonna plant. We're not going to do the whole field with one crop because we have like a farmer's market there on the land. We're not going to be able to turn all of that just one item locally. We're going to have to grow multiple items.
But you got to grow what you have the ability to grow. What you have to work the land.
Correct. So we're going to grow whatever we can, but I don't know exactly what we're going to grow right now because I just got the news this weekend.
Yes.
That that the guys aren't interested in our field. So we're going to do some homework and figure out what we're going to plant because we got to figure it out soon. But we already
like now?
But we already have some things that we planted last year, like the passion fruit and some other grapes that I brought from different parts of the country. We also have a whole bunch of other grape seeds that we're going to plant this year and some other seeds that I've been collecting from all over the country. And we got
a
bunch of other seeds.
For the grape stuff. Take a while for the grapes to be fruitful.
Correct. Well, we probably already have some because we have a ton of grapevines in the back, but we never really we haven't really explored them to see what they're producing or not producing.
Are you going to considering mushroom logs?
We have three mushrooms.
Yeah, we've got the reishi, oyster, and wood ear.
Okay.
And we bought the cattle panel to build a mushroom tent. We just got to build it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Cool.
That's fairly easy to do. And now that we don't have to worry about the field, we can do the reishi one fairly up front. We could probably do all of them up there by the wood splitting area.
Yep.
You know, because it's right there by
the
wood.
Yeah, but we don't really want to contaminate them You don't want to contaminate them with wood that's already been inoculated. So you'd have to be picky about the wood you put on them.
Oh, I understand that. But what I mean is it'll be right there by the wood, so we'll have the food available for it when we have the food available for it right there. See what I'm saying? That way we ain't got to carry it clear across the property because it's all right there. But anyway.
Sounds like a plan.
So we got reishi, wood ear, and what's the other one?
Oyster.
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 So we got those three we're going to cultivate. And I wanted to put up a greenhouse in the fall, but we never got around to that. So hopefully soon we'll be putting up some sort of greenhouse. But we're still working on our fencing for the goats and our road going, in and through our property.
Mm-hmm.
So got to go get some more rock from P&L.
Yes.
And so that we have rock for our driveways. So I guess it's one good thing for having 10% of that property. I can go over there and get all the sex rocks that I need.
The sex rocks?
Yeah, a lot of fucking rocks.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, I thought this would be a child-friendly program.
Nope. I don't have any children listening to this program. But anyways, yeah, sex rocks. We have a lot of fucking rocks. If you rub them together, you can hear them grinding.
Okay, I'm going to check out here, guys. I got to get up early to go to work.
Yeah, me too. I got to get up at 4 a.m.
Been a long day.
I hear
so,
you.
It's 8:14 already?
I don't know.
Yeah, actually, I'm supposed to get to an early start also. But
well,
Joe can have...
It's been an hour, guys.
Do what?
All right.
I said it's been an hour.
Been
I'll
an
talk
hour.
To you later, okay?
All right.
All right.
So we'll catch
we'll
you,
talk to you
next Sunday.
Next Sunday
what?
If we don't talk to you sooner.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
All talk right. Party on. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. All
okay,
righty then.
Sounds like.
Now we know what?
Now we know what a lost caller sounds like. Boink.
Blank. Oh, yeah. Well, we already knew that, didn't we?
I'm usually the lost caller. You probably knew it before I did.
True that. So, what are we going to grow?
Indian corn.
Indian corn, okay.
Indian corn.
Indian
squash.
Corn, squash.
Well, pumpkin's a squash, so pumpkin and Indian corn.
Okay. So I need to go to Amazon and start ordering seeds, or do you want to...
We have the Indian corn already.
Yeah, but do we have enough?
I don't know. It's quite a bit, actually, if we did all those ears in corn.
Okay.
And quite frankly, what we couldn't sell, we could grind and make cornmeal out of.
Right.
It's one of the more nutritious corns.
Yeah, I need to look into a better place to get seed than Amazon, too.
Yeah, that might be a little hard for us to do.
Well, here's some Indian corn. For, you like the purple Indian corn, right?
Yes. The darker the color, the better. If you got blue and black, hey, that'd be great.
Well, this one I'm looking at has got blue and black, and it's $3 plus $3 shipping and handling.
Yeah, see, I divided up into the Indian corn, and...
But it is heirloom.
There you go.
The one we got probably is an heirloom. But we don't want to mix the two either, so.
No, we'll do the one this year. I'd like to get the glass gem, but I don't want to do anything but it when we do it.
The glass what?
I don't know. Will popcorns cross with regular corn? You know, that's a question.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's some Cherokee Indian corn. It's almost all black and purple. Just like you like.
Woo.
Okay. So, squash. Well, I don't know what happened, but I'm thinking I know what happened. Okay. Indian corn, heirloom Indian corn. It doesn't tell me how many ears. So I assume you only get one ear of corn for $3, and then you pay $3 shipping and handling.
Do you even get an ear?
Just one ear.
You might. You get an ear. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Right. I would have suspected you wouldn't even get an ear.
You don't. Here it is. 20 seeds. Oh, wait. Oh, that's something else. Never mind. I don't know what you get. It just says glass gem Indian corn heirloom seed. Most beautiful corn in the world. So I guess you get one seed for $3.
Possibly.
Because it says seed.
Yeah, see, now one seed all by itself wouldn't be enough. You'd end up with one color.
If you're lucky. It grows.
You have to have more. In order to get the multiple colors, you have to have multiple colors in your field.
Right. My internet sucks.
Sounds like a personal problem.
It is, actually. Thanks for pointing that out. Still waiting for it to load.
Yay. Yeah, that's a good reason for silence on the line. So, why don't we see what Ron Paul has to say?
Oh, yeah. Oops, wrong button. Almost forgot about Ron Paul. How dare me.
Yeah.
Bastard.
How dare you, you bastard.
Bastard. Bastard. Promise
to your weekly update for Monday, February 22nd. The use of the U.S. military overseas seems to have become so commonplace that the Obama administration can bomb a country with no congressional input and very little media interest at all. Such was the case on Friday when the U.S. military killed some 49 people in a bombing run near Tripoli, Libya. We had to bomb Libya, we are told, because Libya has become a hotbed of ISIS activity. The group is moving training facilities into the country and taking advantage of the chaos. Ironically, it was 5 years ago this week that the Arab Spring uprising began in Libya, an uprising that was supported by the U.S. military and led to the overthrow of the Libyan government and the murder of its leader, Gaddafi. We were told that the U.S. had to intervene to overthrow Gaddafi so that democracy and human rights could flourish, yet 5 years after the U.S.-led intervention, no one would argue that the country is better off. Instead of bringing Libya democracy, U.S. intervention brought Libya ISIS. So now the U.S. has to go back and bomb Libya some more to take care of ISIS. Will this work? No way. Logic tells you you cannot do more of what caused the problem and expect it to fix the problem. As Middle East analyst Hillary Leverett observed after Friday's U.S. attack on Libya, the problem is for each one of these targeted killings, what we have seen in the data, that at least two more people sign up to join. The United States has made a habit of lecturing other countries about the need to follow the rule of law, yet this seems to be a matter of do as we say, not as we do. How else can we explain a U.S. attack overseas with no congressional input? Certainly there was no congressional authorization for Friday's bombing. The administration claimed that its authority came from the 2001 authorization to use military force against al-Qaeda in retaliation for the attacks on 9/11. But ISIS did not even exist on 9/11. How can the 2001 authorization be twisted to include bombing Libya in 2016? Libya has been in chaos since its 2011 liberation, but the country's interim government strongly objected to Friday's U.S. bombing, claiming they were not consulted before the U.S. attacked. They called the U.S. air attacks a violation of Libya's sovereignty and of international law. They have a point, but the most important point we must learn from this destruction of Libya and of Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and so on, is that U.S. interventionism has been a complete failure. Hundreds of thousands have been killed in the last 15 years. Societies have been broken apart. Economies have been destroyed, and property has been flattened. There are no success stories. The neocon plan to remake the Middle East has only succeeded in destroying the Middle East. As a consequence, we are far less safe than before the war on terror was launched. ISIS and other terrorist groups have expanded their territory and have even been able to attack in Europe and in the U.S. Our currency has been debased to pay for the trillions of dollars spent in this no-win war. The connected elites have gotten rich while the middle class has gotten poorer. Intervention has failed. It's time to stand up to the neocons and their liberal interventionist collaborators and say no more. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah. Not only that, okay. Going back to the Bible. Our Bible, the original documents, were destroyed. Right? So that they can recreate a new Bible.
Possibly.
Okay. The New World Order. Ah, crap. What did I do with that? The New World Order, it appears, is basically, there it is, basically trying to destroy history so that they can recreate a false history.
Well, that's typical.
Right, because Al-Qaeda, not Al-Qaeda, ISIS, from what I have seen, has been going through and destroying historical artifacts and documents and historical buildings, anything that has to do with history. They've been destroying it. That's the main thing that I've noticed. So it appears that they're employed by the New World Order to destroy any documentation of history that they want destroyed so that they can recreate a false history. That's my theory.
And you're sticking to it.
Yes. It's probably only one of the realities. But I'm sure it's one of the realities. I mean, the other one is to create chaos so that they can create order. You know, like Lenny says, you create a problem so you can advocate a solution for the problem, which puts more and more power into your hands. Like the fake shootings that never happened in our public schools. Oh, we need gun control. For what? It never happened.
Right.
And then we had the bombings in Boston that was supposedly created by the CIA brainwashing these two kids into doing their bidding. Oh, we got a problem. We got terrorism, blah, 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 blah. Well, wait a minute. You know, who's the terrorist? If our CIA, our government, is training these kids to be the terrorists.
Then it's the CIA that's the terrorist.
Right. But the CIA, the CIA is part of our government, and our government's saying we got a problem and pointing the finger at somebody else when they're actually creating the problem so that they can advocate a solution for the problem. It's kind of like, I know you haven't watched this TV series, but when I was with Mary, you know, we were poly, so we watched Big Love. Pretty much all of it. I actually haven't seen the last of it because I lost interest. But anyways, I even forgot his name, Bill. I think his name was Bill. Anyways, when he was running for Congress, he had this one woman working for him. She was supposed to be, some kind of political advisor or something. She's supposed to be helping him with his campaign running for Congress or something. And she ended up going and collaborating with this other group, these activists, to go and create problems for this guy at his casino so that he would pay her more money to advocate a solution for the problem that she created.
Right.
So she was creating job security for herself by creating a problem so that she could fix the problem.
Yes.
And that's
exactly
what our government does.
Well, shoot, that's like the mom who helped her firefighter's son by setting fires.
Right.
They did that out in California.
That's just insanity.
No, it's job security.
Right, and that's basically what our government's doing.
Yeah.
And we're falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. Well, not you and me, but the rest of the brainwashed country. It's crazy. We need to vote no on anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government.
That'd be everything.
Pretty much. Vote no on everything.
Don't tell them that. They won't vote for you if you say that.
Hey, vote no on anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government. If I'm running for Congress, I guess that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government.
Oh, well.
But that would mean that you can't vote for anybody else either.
That's right. Vote for nobody! Because nobody cares!
So I should change my name to Nobody. I care.
Yeah.
I think I told you about that. I wrote a poem when I was a kid. It was titled Nobody. Or I Am Nobody. And it says, you know, when you say nobody cares, I'm nobody. When you say nobody loves you, I'm nobody. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know if I still have that poem. My first wife burnt most of my stuff.
Ouch.
Yeah, nice. I had like a dozen or two dozen songs, I forget. A couple of them, some of them were really good. Some of them sucked. And then I had like thousand, if not a couple thousand poems. A girlfriend before my first wife stole a lot of originals, a lot. Her name was Mystic. I hope I can maybe one day get those poems back, but I doubt it. And then my ex-wife burnt the rest of them, pretty much. I might have like a dozen left, maybe a couple dozen at best. I found my junior high school sweetheart a year ago.
Right.
And apparently she doesn't have any of the poems I wrote her. I wrote her most of them. And her ex-husband destroyed all of them.
Yeah,
so I'm screwed. Getting any of my poems, they're all gone. I don't hardly write anymore, although I wrote Regina one.
Ooh.
Well, you know, Valentine card. It's short and sweet. But I should start collecting and putting all my poems together, what I have. I wrote my second wife a few poems. I still got some of those. Yeah, I just don't write like I used to. Although, I don't know, it's kind of coming back to me. So, kind of coming back to me.
Kind of, sort of.
I'm converting audio or text to audio right now. I'm almost done, actually. 22 seconds remaining. But, okay, so we're going to plant squash. Pumpkins will be later, probably. When do we plant pumpkins?
I think as soon as possible, actually.
Okay. So pumpkins, watermelon, cantaloupes. I love cantaloupes. Honeydew.
Watermelon definitely now, and cantaloupes if we can. Yeah. I'm not into cantaloupe, but lots of people are. So.
That's it. Got to make money.
Well, you know, and those Israeli cantaloupes that Brian grows, I actually found them very tasty. And I think it's because the cantaloupe actually came from a field that wasn't, like, induced with chemicals. And they were picked ripe as opposed to green so that they could be shipped, you know. It makes a difference, you know. When I tasted those cantaloupes, I realized, you know, all the cantaloupes I've ever eaten had been from the store. You know? So they, you know, were no good.
No good. Yeah, sometimes I'll get a good cantaloupe from the store, but most of them are just kind of bland. And they're rock hard. They have no flavor, and they're rock hard. Can't eat them.
Now, rock hard is usually a good thing, isn't it?
I don't know. If you can't eat it, I ain't got no teeth, remember? We got to get on our research on how to regrow teeth.
Yeah, I haven't a clue.
I
got friends who claim they know how, but...
Well, I think Dr. Christopher's blend is a good start. Now, I'm going to be taking as much of that as possible. And then Faith, you know, Faith, like What's-Her-Face was saying whenever she's talking about regrowing her finger, meditating, believing it's going to happen is, you know, part of the miracle, if you will. Because you don't have faith, it's not going to happen. Well, it could happen. But it's less likely to happen if you don't have faith that it's going to happen. And so my theory is I'm not old enough. I haven't hit that timeline, you know. It's like kids reach a certain age when their baby teeth fall out and their new teeth come in. And it's almost standard.
Yeah.
You know? And if we used to live to be like 600 years old, surely they had more than two sets of teeth.
Yeah.
So there has to be maybe a timeline, maybe in another 20, 30 years, boop, all of a sudden they'll start growing.
Well, yeah.
Provided I'm healthy enough, you know. I've got the proper nutrients in my body. And I'm not subscribing to modern medicine and all that other garbage.
Yep,
yep. Garbage. Like chocolate.
Chocolatey.
Just kidding. Chocolate's good for you, as long as you get the right kind of chocolate, right?
Well, yeah. Raw. Yeah, raw chocolate, raw organic chocolate. Especially pretty tasty.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty good for you. I suspect coffee would be the same way. If you were to actually get the chocolate berries and eat the fruit off of this, off of the seed, there's not very much. There's not much more than the skin over those seeds. They're supposed to be really sweet.
Yeah, I have to find out what Regina said it was that she's allergic to in the chocolate. Obviously, it wouldn't be the natural chocolate. It'd be this, the, some synthetic stuff that they put in certain chocolates. But I just can't remember what she said. So
right.
We'll have to... So, yeah. So we'll have to make healthy chocolates so she can have them.
Yes.
Maybe it was the lecithin.
Well, it might be the source of the lecithin that's a problem.
Right.
Because lecithin is actually supposed to be good for you. But, you know, if it's made inappropriately, you know, that could be the problem.
Well, I'm looking at my Butterfinger peanut butter cup minis. And that's the only thing that's in here that rings a bell. So maybe it wasn't lecithin. So she might be able to eat these. But I don't remember what it was. Okay, I got Reese's, and I got, that's about all I got. Hang on, let's see what Reese's has. It has lecithin. I don't know, what she said didn't, it struck me as weird because I thought it was something normal. But like you said, maybe it was the lecithin, but it's the source of lecithin.
Yeah, like soy lecithin really does mess with a lot of people.
What kind?
Soy lecithin.
Okay, yeah, both of these had soy. Hang on, let me double check the Reese's.
Especially
yep,
with. Especially if it was genetically modified sourced, you know, more than likely
right.
It was.
Oh, yeah, this has got soy lecithin, too. These Zingers we bought at I bought at Doodad's. That's all the chocolate I got, though. Arigato! Oh, yeah, she looked at me weird when I was talking Japanese to you on the phone. Like, what the heck?
Well, there you go.
Anyways, so yeah, we'll have to figure out, we'll have to make some healthy chocolates for her. And Like that.
Yeah, there's another project, copying Sepp Holzer, growing citrus in non-tropical areas or non-semi-tropical areas. We'll have to find some pine trees. I was looking up pine trees, and technically cedars are not pines, but, you know, they're still in that general family. I'm looking for an evergreen that's dark. And in my search, I found that there's one native evergreen in Missouri. I forget what it's called exactly. I think it's the short needle pine or something like that. And it's native. But we might have to trim it to make it stay short, because it's a timber tree, actually. They've been wiped out in Missouri. It used to be all over the place. And in my research, I found out they cut down all of those, and oak trees took over.
So, interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, we'll have to do that experiment on how to grow or growing citrus and tropical plants here in Missouri. That would be freaking awesome.
Even if we were halfway successful and weren't able to grow citrus, we could at least start the growing season on certain plants much earlier by creating, you know, that microclimate. So we really do need to work on that giant pond.
Right.
You know, not really a giant pond, but the bottom pond. So.
Giant pond.
Giant pond would be what my mom has on her land, you know, 4 acres. We're dealing with less than an acre.
Yeah. Have you heard of the book, Mothers and Other Liars?
No.
That was a book that Regina had. She showed me. I'm supposed to look it up. I think it's like a novel. I don't typically do novels, but I'm going to see if I can get the audio. There's another one she told me. Showed me or told me about. I sent it to my email. But I guess it didn't go through or something. Oh well, I'll find it. But anyways, yeah. Going through and cleaning up my email. I haven't checked my email for a week while I was helping her move, so it's like I've got a buttload of emails.
A buttload?
Action required. A buttload. April 2016, I need to do a transfer on that one. Put a flag on that. Cancellation. Yeah. Single parent meet. I've got 66 new profile views. I haven't been there since forever. That's where I met Regina. Singleparentmeet.com. I definitely endorse that for anybody who's listening. I met Lori there. She turned out to be a really good friend. She's astrologically compatible. And I met Regina there, and she's astrologically compatible.
There you
go. Regina doesn't work out. She might still make a good friend because of our astrology.
Right.
So it is a pay site, but, you know, if you have any idea how to use astrology, I don't know how to... how their astrology works exactly, because it eludes me on how they do their shoot. Most of these emails are from Datelines. I'm just deleting them. Delete, delete, delete. Okay, there. All right. I don't know how they do their astrology, because I know astrology, and I looked at their comparisons, their compatibility and stuff like that for different matches. And for people that are a good match, they're saying you're an okay match. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not right. You know? I don't remember what it said about Regina and I, but it's like it said our compatibility was so-so. I think it said the same thing about Lori and I. And our compatibility was fairly high. Not like super high, like my brother and his wife, but it was still high according to the standards, you know. What my brother and his wife have are like off the chart. I mean, that's very rare, very hard to find. You know, you're lucky if you get a 1.5 or a 2.5. So, I mean, unless you're absolutely just going out and strategically looking for 8s and 9s, and you know what you're looking for as far as birthdays, but that's a lot of freaking homework.
Right.
I've been doing it for 5 years, and I just now found a seven and an 8 on paper, but I haven't found it in real life. The most I found, I think the highest I found in real life was, you know, in the 2s. So, my brother just got lucky. And literally, he didn't know astrology. He wasn't doing astrology. He just got lucky. Russian roulette. He won the jackpot. Of course, they're both crazy, so...
Yeah.
They deserve each other. They're perfect for each other. They're both crazy. Yeah. They're okay. They're not, I guess they're not, my brother's not as bad as he used to be. He used to be really bad. But now he's growing up, finally.
Right.
I was waiting for the bomb to drop, but he hasn't lapsed. So I think maybe he's figured it out. Maybe.
Do you really want to talk about that in the whole world, though?
Well...
Your brother might listen in someday.
He already knows.
Okay.
He, you know, he probably don't care. And I don't care if he cares anyways, but it is what it is.
It is what it is, because it is what it is. It is what it is.
But like I said, he's made a turnaround. You know, my dad was, my dad wasn't really a very good person growing up. I mean, when he was a kid, I guess he was, but when I was a kid, he wasn't. And after my folks got divorced and he found God, you know, he became a better person. Why couldn't he have done that sooner, I don't know. But, you know, hey, at least he found God and he's changed and he's a better person now. And that's what it boils down to. My brother's the same way. I wish he would have done it sooner, but, you know, he's doing it. And that's all that matters.
Oh, crap.
So, I was starting out my monologue with a continuation of last week's podcast.
Right.
We're already pushing 2 hours. I was going to play a video. You might get a kick out of this. And basically what I was trying to get at is, okay, this is a David D'Angelo video.
I know.
All right. Well, it's actually an audio. I converted it, turned it into a video and put it on my YouTube account. I'm sure he probably won't be angry at me.
All the women are going to hate it.
Well, probably. But this is something that's actually trying to educate the women, because, I mean, when you listen to it, it sounds like it's making fun of the women. But if the women actually pay attention to it, they'll actually get some education from this. You know, women put so much emphasis on these romance fantasies that they set themselves up to fail.
Now, I remember listening to this.
Huh?
I remember listening to this, actually.
Yeah.
A similar discussion from them.
So, basically, what it boils down to is, you know, they have this false sense of reality of what romance is. And these nice guys feed, or not nice guys, these bad boys feed on that, and they use it to take advantage of the women.
Right.
And, you know, the nice guys, they're romantic also, but they're romantic in a different way. And women see that as being weak, when it's not really weak. You know, they're just respecting women, but they're coming across as weak. And these other guys, they're coming off strong and aggressive, and they're playing the romantic role just to get in their pants. And then these women get used and taken advantage of. And so this audio that I found by David D'Angelo kind of helps open your eyes. Kind of opens your eyes to the perspective, because this one woman is saying how European men really know what romance is, and American men are stupid and full of shit because we don't know diddly squat. And we need to take some lessons from Europeans, because they really know what women want. And
right,
then,
you played this, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's a letter. That's a letter that a woman wrote. And then after that, he reads a letter that the European, maybe not the same European that she was talking about, but a similar European as to whom she's talking about. And so it's giving both perspectives. And so you realize that she was bamboozled. She doesn't even realize it. Yeah, she was bamboozled, and she doesn't even realize it. She's, you know, jabbing all these American men in the heart, saying, you suck, you suck. And she doesn't realize that she got taken advantage of, and she's glorifying that. You know? It's kind of retarded. But, you know, it's an eye-opener, and a lot of women need to hear that. Not that they'll probably hear it on this podcast, but you never know. So I put it on my YouTube also. But, so I'm going to play that real quick, because I was going to play that, and then David Irish called in, and so I stopped.
All right, well, better play it on double time, because we're past the two-hour mark.
Yep, yep. Here we go. On your mark. Get set.
How to make your personality interesting. How to tell a story. There's a good book called How to Tell a Story. I'd recommend that you check it out. What's interesting? Drama, humor, scandal, pop culture, icons, fun things, movie and interesting critique, formula of 90210, Dynasty, Cosmo, MTV. Watch these things, and don't watch them. Go, what are they talking about here? Watch the way they talk about them. Become a Renaissance man. Learn about music, art, dance, story, culture, history, all this different stuff. Learn a little bit about everything. Just pick up a book and read about it. It's when you just say, you know, I was reading this book the other day about Leonardo da Vinci. And when I was reading about Leonardo, it said all this stuff. It's fascinating. It's really interesting stuff to talk about. Apply something that he was talking about to something that's going on today and say, you know, they figured that out a long time ago.
There's a book called How to Think by Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, by Michael Gelb, and I own it. Okay, How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci by Michael Gelb. Very interesting book. Okay, romantic stories, history, and interesting trivia. Talk about the story behind things. If there's a little restaurant that's a scary little dive restaurant, but they serve really good Italian food, it's great to take her there if you know the story behind it. Watch 9 1/2 Weeks. He takes her to this little place and tells her about how guys were shot in that restaurant or whatever. Remember that? In the beginning? All right. You guys ever see this? Point, counterpoint, travel. European men are so much more romantic than American men. I just got back from a semester abroad in Europe, and let me tell you, it truly was the most magical, amazing experience of my entire life. The French countryside was like something out of a storybook. The Roman ruins were magnificent, and the men, well, European men are by far the most romantic in the world. You American men think you're so suave and sophisticated. Well, think again. European men make you look like the immature, inexperienced little children you are. They really know how to make a woman feel special over there. Unlike the so-called men here in the States, European men know how to treat a woman right. For one thing, European men aren't afraid to come up and talk to you, and they know how to start slowly, with a nice cup of Italian espresso or a long walk on some historic street. They know the places you can't find in any tourist guide. They know the whole history of the cities in which they live, who the fountains are named after, who the statues are. I remember one unforgettable night in Athens. I sat and listened to a Greek sailor for hours as he told me about the countless men who fought over Helen back in ancient times. Afterward, he told me he loved his homeland even more now he'd seen it through my eyes. I ask you, would an American man ever say something as deep and beautiful as that? European men know the most romantic little cafes and bistros and trattorias, candlelit places where you can be alone and drink the most fantastic wine. They tell you what's on the menu and why you should try it. If it wasn't for a certain young man in Milan, I never would have discovered fusilli, spinaci, and scampi. And the whole time, they're looking deep into your eyes, like you're the only woman on the entire planet. What woman could resist a man like that? Then, after a moonlit stroll along a waterfront and a kiss in the doorway of the artist's loft, you find yourself unable to, well, I'll leave the rest to your imagination. That's powerful. So, I mean, it's a really good story. It's a good description, you know? And being able to communicate in the way that she's talking about right there is very powerful. It is very powerful to be able to communicate that way. Tell stories like that. Inspire a woman. Talk about romantic fantasy. Anybody agree with that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You guys moved women with that? Okay. American women studying Europe are unbelievably easy. I'm a 25-year-old carpenter living in Rome, and I don't mind telling you that I get all the action I can handle. I'm not all that handsome or well-dressed, and I'm certainly not rich. In fact, my Italian countrywomen could take me or leave me, but that's just fine because Rome gets loads of tourist traffic, and American co-eds traveling through Europe are without a doubt the easiest lays in the world. Being European gives me a hell of an advantage. I'm not sure why, but there's something about the accent that opens a lot of doors. All you have to do is go up to them, act a little shy, and say, "Would you like to go with me, Signora, for a cafe?" I actually have to thicken up my accent a little, but they never, ever catch on. After a cheap coffee, which to them always tastes better than anything they've ever had because they're in Europe, it's time to walk them. Now, all they know about Rome is what they read on Let's Go, so you can pretty much just make up a whole bunch of shit. It's fun to see how much they'll swallow. As long as I refer to Italy as my homeland and other Italians as my people, they'll believe pretty much anything. I don't know who most of the local statues are, so I tell the muffins that they're all great artists and poets and lovers. Once, just for the hell of it, I told a psychology major from the University of Maryland that a public staircase was part of the Spanish Steps, which she never even heard of. Another time I told this blonde from Michigan State that the public library was the Parthenon, and she cooed like I had just given her a diamond. For dinner, I usually take them to some cheap little hole in the wall, someplace deserted where not even the cops eat. American girls think candlelight means romance, not deteriorating public utilities. So they just poke their nipples through their J.Crew sweaters and never notice that there's no electricity. Just as well, because Roman restaurants aren't exactly the cleanest. After a bunch of fast talk about the menu, I get them the special, which is usually some anonymous pasta with spinach and day-old shrimp and whatever cheap generic Pope's blood Chianti at the bottom of the list. By this time, they're usually standing on a slippery little puddle. Going in for the kill, I walk them past one of Rome's famous 2,000-year-old open cesspools. Then, as we open the door to my shitty efficiency, I kiss them on the eyelids so they don't see the roaches, making sure the first thing they see is the strategically positioned artist's easel I bought at some church sale. So that's usually all they need to see, and like clockwork, they fall backwards on my bed with their Birkenstocks in the air. I mean, they're hardly Italian women, but we have a saying here in Europe, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
All right. That needs
that
to be clear.
That was disgusting.
Huh?
That was disgusting.
Yeah, pretty much. But it needs to be heard, you know, because that's the reality. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Still disgusting.
I know. So we're going to play it one more time, just so people get it.
No.
European men are so much more romantic than American men. I just got back from a semester abroad in Europe, and let me tell you, it truly was the most magical, amazing experience of my entire life. The French countryside was like something out of a storybook. The Roman ruins were magnificent, and the men, well, European men are by far the most romantic in the world. You American men think you're so suave and sophisticated. Well, think again. European men make you look like the immature, inexperienced little children you are. They really know how to make a woman feel special over there. Unlike the so-called men here in the States, European men know how to treat a woman right. For one thing, European men aren't afraid to come up and talk to you, and they know how to start slowly, with a nice cup of Italian espresso or a long walk on some historic street. They know the places you can't find in any tourist guide. They know the whole history of the cities in which they live, who the fountains are named after, who the statues are. I remember one unforgettable night in Athens. I sat and listened to a Greek sailor for hours as he told me about the countless men who fought over Helen back in ancient times. Afterward, he told me he loved his homeland even more now he'd seen it through my eyes. I ask you, would an American man ever say something as deep and beautiful as that? European men know the most romantic little cafes and bistros and trattorias, candlelit places where you can be alone and drink the most fantastic wine. They tell you what's on the menu and why you should try it. If it wasn't for a certain young man in Milan, I never would have discovered fusilli, spinaci e scampi. And the whole time, they're looking deep into your eyes, like you're the only woman on the entire planet. What woman could resist a man like that? Then, after a moonlit stroll along the waterfront and a kiss in the doorway of the artist's loft, you find yourself unable to, well, I'll leave the rest to your imagination. That's powerful. So, I mean, it's a really good story. It's a good description, you know? And being able to communicate in the way that she's talking about right there is very powerful. It is very powerful to be able to communicate that way. Tell stories like that. Inspire a woman. Talk about romantic fantasy. Anybody agree with that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You guys moved women with that? Okay. American women studying Europe are unbelievably easy. I'm a 25-year-old carpenter living in Rome, and I don't mind telling you that I get all the action I can handle. I'm not all that handsome or well-dressed, and I'm certainly not rich. In fact, my Italian countrywomen could take me or leave me. But that's just fine, because Rome gets loads of tourist traffic, and American co-eds traveling through Europe are without a doubt the easiest lays in the world. Being European gives me a hell of an advantage. I'm not sure why, but there's something about the accent that opens a lot of doors. All you have to do is go up to them, act a little shy, and say, "Would you like to go with me, Signora, for a cafe?" I actually have to thicken up my accent a little, but they never, ever catch on. After a cheap coffee, which to them always tastes better than anything they've ever had because they're in Europe, it's time to walk them. Now, all they know about Rome is what they read on Let's Go, so you can pretty much just make up a whole bunch of shit. It's fun to see how much they'll swallow. As long as I refer to Italy as my homeland and other Italians as my people, they'll believe pretty much anything. I don't know who most of the local statues are, so I tell the muffins that they're all great artists and poets and lovers. Once, just for the hell of it, I told a psychology major from the University of Maryland that a public staircase was part of the Spanish Steps, which she'd never even heard of. Another time I told this blonde from Michigan State that the public library was the Parthenon, and she cooed like I had just given her a diamond. For dinner, I usually take them to some cheap little hole in the wall, someplace deserted where not even the cops eat. American girls think candlelight means romance, not deteriorating public utility. So they just poke their nipples through their J.Crew sweaters and never notice that there's no electricity. Just as well, because Roman restaurants aren't exactly the cleanest. After a bunch of fast talk about the menu, I get them the special, which is usually some anonymous pasta with spinach and day-old shrimp, and whatever cheap generic Pope's Blood Chianti at the bottom of the list. By this time, they're usually standing on a slippery little puddle. Going in for the kill, I walk them past one of Rome's famous 2,000-year-old open cesspools. Then, as we open the door to my shitty efficiency, I kiss them on the eyelids so they don't see the roaches, making sure the first thing they see is the strategically positioned artist's easel I bought at some church sale. That's usually all they need to see, and like clockwork, they fall backwards on my bed with their Birkenstocks in the air. I mean, they're hardly Italian women, but we have a saying here in Europe, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Now, this is the funny part. The other part, though, is real. Okay? The other part's real.
That's the Onion.
Yeah, you found this on The Onion. I found this on The Onion somewhere. .com.
Yeah!
Ouch.
Ouch. So, you know, what it boils down to is, you know, girls, women, whatever, they have this whole fantasy thing in their brain that they were programmed growing up. And they're actually, you know, parents are actually programming their daughters to fail by letting them get engrossed in all of this fairy tale nonsense. The counterpoint to that is the nice guys are also being programmed to fail because they're being taught the wrong things. You know, women like strong, aggressive, bad boys, you know, in general. Instinctively, throughout history, nature, evolution, whatever you want to call it, you know, men were the protectors, the hunters, the gatherers. Women were probably more the gatherers, and men were more the hunters and the protectors. But that's ingrained in our DNA. Women are, across the board, tend to go for guys who are more dominant, more assertive, more aggressive. So nice guys who are not dominant, assertive, and aggressive usually don't go anywhere. That being said, there are dominant, assertive, and aggressive women. You know, not all men are from Mars, and not all women are from Venus. So, for the more passive, more, I guess you could say, submissive men, they're going to be more, they're going to attract the more aggressive, more dominant women. But, you know, like you and I, we have our Libra, or our ascendant in Libra, so we appear to be more passive. We have our descendants in Aries, so we're attracted to the more aggressive women. When I'm on datelines, or was on datelines, I wouldn't actually contact women 90% of the time. I've contacted women maybe 10% of the time at best. Probably, well, I don't know. Lately, I'd been forcing myself to push that number up. But,
getting pushy now, huh?
Yeah, I've been bumping that number up to maybe 25%. But, and in doing so, I made a couple good friends. I mean, I met Shelly that way because I contacted her. She was 97% match on OkCupid, so I had to find out what her birthday was. And astrologically, this is the weird part, is astrologically she's not compatible to me, but she's 97% compatible on OkCupid. So that was weird and confusing. I'm still doing some homework on that. I'll have to do a star match report and see what the star match says as far as our long-term compatibility, just for analytical purposes. But, you know, it was just weird because she wasn't really astrologically compatible. But OkCupid, she answered all the same questions that I answered to be compatible. So whatever. You know, culture, environment, and upbringing. But, you know, most of the time, I don't contact women. Hardly ever. In fact, like Regina, I didn't contact her. She contacted me. I did make the first move, though, if you think about it, because I liked one of her pictures and I added her to my favorites. But that's it. But that's normal. You know, a lot of people do that. But I only liked one of her pictures, and I only added her to my favorites. I didn't like all of her pictures, and I didn't blow her email up or her profile up. And
right.
That's why she contacted me, because I didn't blow up her profile. She turned out to be astrologically compatible to me. So whatever I do naturally will attract someone who's naturally compatible to me.
Hopefully.
If they're in their right mind.
Yeah.
You know, if they're operating on their instincts and not by society's instincts. And that's where I'm kind of going with this video audio thingy that I just did. You know, it's like society is programming all these different things in people's brains. You know, women get all wrapped up in this romance novel stuff, and I'm a romantic. I'm a hopeless romantic, but I don't come off as a romantic. I come off as a nice guy, you know, and not the bad boy protector type that most women are looking for. And so most women blow me off because I'm not this, you know, macho man that's going to, you know, they think that these guys are going to protect them, and then the guys turn around and abuse them, and then they're like, you're supposed to be my protector, and you're not protecting me. Well, what do you expect? You know, you're chasing the wrong the wrong
to be protected from. And
right.
So would have been protected from had you chose one of those good boys.
Well, yeah. In today's day and age, we don't have to be, macho men, because the New World Order and the police force and all this other stuff has this false sense of security. And so we don't really have, even though we do have a lot of crime, we don't have like we was talking earlier about the sheep. If you don't separate the sheep, the male sheep, they'll kill each other, So
that's barn keep, to be honest. That's another issue, though.
Yeah. But, okay, so farm sheep. If we, the farmers, aren't acting like the New World Order and separating, out, the herds and controlling the environment so that they don't kill each other, then the competition's not there. So they don't have to be, bad boys anymore. They can be whatever they want to be. And that's kind of the environment that we have now. We're not out fighting, over women. We still do. Some people do anyways. But we're not fighting over women with swords and guns all the time, like, say, maybe a couple hundred years ago. Or a few hundred years ago. So, but that instinct of having to have a bad boy to protect them is still ingrained in the women. And so these nice guys realize that they don't really have to be that way. They can pursue other things. They can do other things. Because they're usually really smart guys. The nice guys are usually really intelligent and are usually really into all these nerdy things that are usually unattractive to mainstream women. They're into princess stuff and romance and chivalry and whatever, and they get this false sense of security from these guys who treat them like crap in the long run. They tell them what they want to hear, but they're not doing their homework. They're looking at the surface. They're reading the book cover and not the book.
Right. They don't double check to make sure that sewer isn't the Parthenon,
Right. I'm not exactly a nice guy and I'm not exactly a bad boy. I'm somewhere in between. And I've been working on it to make sure that I tweak it to be the best that I can be. Not really to get the woman, but to keep the woman, because women need that security. Obviously, they're chasing it, and men do need to be able to protect their women, not that we really have to anymore, sort of. We never know when we're going to have to be able to protect our woman. But there may come a day. I mean, we're looking at, the collapse, and we're looking at all these other things that are going on in our world and all these potential disasters that are potentially going to happen maybe in our lifetime. So us nice guys really do need to start stepping up to the plate and learning, some of the bad boy characteristics by actually putting ourselves in a position to where we actually will be able to protect the women instead of just pretending to be able to protect the women.
Right.
Learning martial arts and, learning self-defense, learning how to use weapons, getting in the mindset and the physical being to be able to protect the women, because that's what they want. That's really what they want. They want somebody who's going to be able to protect them. They want security. And,
right.
They want rope.
But as Americans, we don't have the romantic nature of those Europeans.
Well, we can. according to that one woman, we don't.
That was
but,
my point.
You know, yeah. But we can, you know. I mean, when I was a kid, I was a poet, you know. I wasn't so much an artist. I did draw and I did paint, but I was more of a poet. I wrote thousands of poems. And my nickname in junior high was Loverboy. I mean, everywhere I went, I was surrounded by women. And even in high school, according to my first wife, I was dating over 100 women in school when I met her.
And you didn't even know it.
Well, she was exaggerating. But I did date a lot of freaking women in school. Then after school, I don't know what happened, because it's like I just became the plague or something. But in school, I was a romantic, and women liked that. I attracted the women because I wrote a lot of poems and I wrote music. Well, high school was more music. Junior high was more poetry. So, and then, of course, after my first wife, I pretty much put all that stuff behind me. So maybe that's what happened to me, was I quit being a poet. I quit being a songwriter. So I lost that romantic touch that drive women crazy, you know. I also used to be in martial arts. I used to do all that stuff. So I was, you know, really good at self-defense and all this, whatever. So I had the bad boy romantic, like every woman was, but I got away from that because life happened. I had kids, I had to get a job and all this other stuff, and I put all that stuff behind me to be responsible. And then I became unattractive. Right. So now I'm getting back to the way I used to be. I'm incorporating the way I used to be into the way I am now. And trying to be all that I can be, you know, because women have such high expectations, you can't almost never, you know, be what women expect you to be. But what it boils down to is women want security. Whatever kind of security it is, every woman's got their own idea of security, but what it boils down to is they want someone who can protect them and provide for them. You know? When they're younger, they think providing for them means a nice big fancy house and you make lots of money and she just stays home and does whatever she wants to do. But as they get older, they realize, yeah, as they get older, they realize that that's a pipe dream. You know? So they realize...
Five rats on your knee and boredom.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many soaps you can watch.
Yeah, that too. Well, I don't know. But anyways, not for some people. But as they get older, they start waking up, you know. But the problem is they're programmed when they're kids to go chase all this stuff. And so we got to stop programming our daughters to go chasing pipe dreams that don't exist. You know, we got to start educating our daughters on what real security is, what a real man is, you know.
What was the song, Security is a Warm Gun?
Do what?
What was the song, Security? Oh, no, Happiness is a Warm Gun.
I guess. And, you know, I don't know. The problem is, you know, when women reject nice guys for being nice guys, good guys, they're telling men that they have to be bad boys in order to get a woman. So they're setting themselves up for to be damaged again that way. You know, it's like, one, they're setting themselves up to be damaged by programming themselves to go after all this stuff that doesn't exist. They're setting themselves up to be used by the bad boys, and they're rejecting the nice guys.
Right.
and telling men that they have to be bad boys in order to get a woman. So now there's less nice guys out there because all the guys think, well, nice guys finish last, so I can't be nice.
I can't date you. You're my friend. It's like, you want to date your enemy?
Right. Pretty
Come
much.
Come on, lady.
Yeah, you know, but once women go through so many, and it's kind of like going back to the over 40 and scared of women because I've been hurt too much. You know, it's like by the time we're 40, women have figured it out. Most
but
of them.
It's
not
too late because the guy doesn't want to deal with women anymore.
Right, yeah, women have figured out, oh, I've been fucking up all these years, and I've been running all the good guys off and chasing all the bad boys. Now I'm going to go try to, and now all the nice guys are damaged, and they're scared of women because they've been hurt too much. And, of course, then the women are damaged because they've been hurt too much. Everybody's been hurt too much, you know. It's like, we got to fix that to where it's not, you know, people aren't over 40 and scared of the opposite sex because they've been hurt too much.
Right.
Stop programming our children to chase pipe dreams. Start teaching men how to be men and teach women
how. The really
out.
Sad thing about that is those women, they're now got their act together. They probably had their first child back when they were 16, 17, 18 years of age. And so that child saw a whole lifetime of mom being stupid before she got a clue. So they learned the same stupid lessons and are just going to copy their mom.
Exactly. And the same with the boys.
Yeah.
You know, the boys are growing up with these bad, you know, abusive father and boyfriend role models. And they're being programmed that this is the way it's supposed to be because this is what mom wants, so this is the way I need to be.
Yeah, it's what mom went for.
Right. I mean, I don't know how my brother and I turned out totally different. Part of it's astrology. But we were both raised the same way. My dad was abusive. He wasn't physically abusive to my mother, but he was physically abusive to my brother and I. And he was verbally and emotionally abusive to all of us. Now, I grew up a codependent, like my mother. My brother grew up abusive, like my father. So how does that work?
So is your brother going to see the light someday and become a Jesus freak like your dad did, or?
Well, he's already working on it.
There you go.
You know, at least both of them are snapping out of that. My grandfather, my dad's dad, never snapped out of it. You know, my dad got that behavior from his dad. My brother got that behavior from his dad. Hopefully he doesn't pass that behavior on to his children, but Garrett, my youngest nephew, has already been adopting that behavior because both his mother and his dad were all fucked up. But that's a whole other story. His mom's even more messed up than my brother probably ever was. But
yeah, you gotta learn the fine art of using fake names or something, you know?
The fine art of using fake names. Yeah, I'm too transparent. That's my problem.
Yeah. I'm probably just as guilty, but I'm just listening. You know, it's like, you know, someday these people might tune into our podcast and they go, what?
Yeah. I might get reprimanded, but at the same time, I don't know. It's nothing I haven't said already in public in front of them. So
okay.
It's not like it's going to be any surprise to them.
So they'll be like, oh, there he goes again.
Yeah.
All right. I'll stop correcting you then, because that's probably closer to the truth, knowing you.
Well, yeah, I mean, remember what I said at Christmas right in front of my brother, and then he got offended, but he didn't really go anywhere. He just kind of, you know, he said something. It was really true, but he just blew off a little bit of steam and then let it go because he knew it was true, you know. But he just didn't like being confronted with the truth. But he went ahead and just accepted it and moved on because he has changed. He is getting better, you know. I hope he stays that way, though. That's the part I'm scared about, you know, because he's gotten better before in the past and then backslid and just was horrible. I just hope he stays on track this time. I really do. I pray for him all the time. Well, not all the time, but a lot. And especially my nephew. My nephew, I really worry about him. But Bad Boys, you know, I don't know. Maybe more women need to start coming together, start educating the nice guys. You know, I mean, women tend to take guys off the coat rack and try to make alterations. Why don't you take a nice guy and make alterations instead of a bad boy? You're going to have a whole lot more success altering a nice guy than you are going to alter a bad boy.
Hey, you doofus, wearing the beanie. Come here. Let's put a leather jacket on you.
Pretty much. Oh, what was that movie? It was out. It came out in the 80s where this guy was in love with this popular rich girl. He was a nerd. Okay? She rent her mother's dress or some outfit that she secretly borrowed from her mother, and she rent it. And she was freaking out because it was like $1,000 dress or something like that. And the dude who was in love with her, she didn't even know he existed. He was about to go spend this money on a new telescope that he had saved his money up for, and he was going to go buy this new telescope. I think it was a telescope.
Nerd!
And he accidentally found out that she was in this situation because he was at the mall at the same time. And so he made a deal with her. He wanted to be popular.
My mom's going to kill me.
Yeah, he made a deal with her. He says, "I'll replace it, but I want you to be my girlfriend." You know, and he thought it would make him popular. You know, he had already figured out that she probably would never really be in love with him.
Right.
So he figured he'd just take the second best thing and you take advantage of the situation to get popularity. Or something. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what his agenda was, but I do remember that he was in love with her or had a crush on her, whatever the case may be. So he manipulated the situation and got her as his girlfriend, like he always wanted, but he had to buy her affection, you know.
Right.
Well, then the popularity went to his head. But, you know, she fixed him up. She turned a nice, nerdy guy into a bad boy. And, of course, it went to his head. But it didn't go to his head for very long because he was smart. He figured it out after he screwed up. But he figured it out. And he still got the girl in the end. Because he wasn't a dumbass. He was a nice guy. He just went through a dumbass stage. And then figured it out and straightened up and apologized. And he won the girl in the end. But that's a good example of, I mean, how you can fix up a nice guy and you know, probably get the best of both worlds. It's just a movie, man. It doesn't really happen that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it can.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you want to look at romance novels, that don't really happen that way. You know? Which dream do you want to chase? One that's actually possible, one that's not really possible.
Well, we know the answer to that. They want to go after the not possible.
Perhaps. Until they're 40 and they figure it out. Then they're like, crap.
Over 40 and hurt too much because... Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's basically where I was going in the beginning. Nice guys. Before David Irish called in.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guys. And the pussification of America.
You said some dirty language again.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to make this one adult content.
You know, I'm going to have to hit one of those, make you quiet buttons. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have that on my...
Yeah, I'm actually not on the website right now, but I have that power.
I got We're free-ranging and out of control. Yay!
Pretty much. Yeah!
So, are we approaching the third hour now?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Holy cow, we are. Well,
Holy batshit, Batman.
Yeah, hey, I already fucked it up. Might as well fuck it up some more. But, hey, you know, I think I found someone who actually appreciates nice guys. And I like that.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it also sounds like she hit her head against the wall a few too many times, and so that's probably why.
True, but at least she's not over 40 and fucked up. She's just over 30. She figured it out a little earlier. I don't know. She's actually pretty smart. Well, you met her. She's smart cooking. I think she figures things out quicker than most women.
Yeah, she's looked at me a couple of times and said, "Didn't he say that I'm capable? Why isn't he treating me like I'm capable?"
Oh, well, that was just because...
But you were double-checking everything. And I didn't know how to explain it to her that you're, you know...
OCD.
Obsessive-compulsive on a few things.
Oh, we had that conversation on the first date. She was probably just giving me crap.
Well, there's a difference between hearing the words and actually experiencing it. Yes.
Yeah, because she's OCD, too.
Right.
So, she's just like us, you know? I mean, her house placements are different, her outer aspects are different, but her planetary alignments are pretty much the same as ours. So,
yeah.
She's a lot like us. So she's going to double, triple check everything I do. And I'm going to double, triple check everything she does. And we're both going to get on each other for double, triple checking. But again, we're probably both going to thank each other.
Don't you trust me? I trust you absolutely. I just, you know, I got to check.
I totally trust you. But I'm just checking. Well, Mary and I did that, too, all the time. We would double, triple check each other. And sometimes it would be annoying, but it was good because everything was double, triple checked.
So the time you don't double, triple check her, she'll be like, "What's the matter with you?"
Yeah.
Go over there and annoy me. Check it again.
Well, I didn't know there was two hitches. I didn't know she had two hitches. That was what messed me up.
That's not the only thing, but all the same.
What do you mean?
Oh, there's a few things like packing things into the storage and stuff like that. She mentioned something. I forget what it was. I was just laughing at her comment on it when she made it. It's like,
I didn't hear about that. You have to. What did I do?
I don't remember the details.
Oh, okay.
So I just remembered the situation.
Oh, okay. I only remember the trailer hitch thingy, because I thought she only had one trailer hitch, and so when we were switching trailers, I was like, oh, well, you got the wrong one on here, and she didn't have the wrong one. She had the right one, but we had been using the wrong one the whole time.
Right.
And so I automatically assumed that the wrong one was still on there. Oh, well, it's all good.
I'm an asshole, Yodio. I'm an asshole, Yodio.
Not really. I think she understood because she still kissed me back. So.
Oh, yeah.
That means that she didn't think totally bad of me.
No.
No. She's probably just giving me shit.
And you deserve it.
Yeah. I'd probably do the same thing. She did reprimand me about fuel mileage, though. Because I was using cruise control on her truck. Burning up fuel.
Using cruise control?
Apparently with her vehicle, it's different. Normally, statistics show that cruise control gets better fuel mileage.
Yeah, definitely.
But she had already ran the numbers, and with her vehicle, from her experience running the numbers, with her vehicle was different. And she didn't tell me that she had run all the, you know, she had already run all the numbers and da-da-da-da-da. She just told me, don't run it on cruise control because you get better fuel mileage if you don't. Or whatever, I don't remember how she said it, but she said it in a way that it didn't click to my brain. And,
asshole. Cruise control don't work.
I'm an asshole. So anyways, so I was like, still doing it my way. And I, you know, second to the last trip down, she called me while I was in the pickup truck with Chad, and was, I don't know what I would call it. I wouldn't call it lecturing or reprimanding, but she was saying, now see, I'm able to do, you know, I'm doing this and I've only burned so much fuel when you was doing it this way and you was burning this much fuel. Now, you see the difference? And I'm just like, ma'am, yes, ma'am, I'm going to listen to you. I understand. I apologize. I'm going to try and do it your way next time. You're right. I'm wrong.
In one ear, not the other, in other words.
No, actually, no. I was listening. Because, really, I didn't tell her, I told her when she called me, but I didn't tell her previously, that I ended up putting more money in fuel because I had money on my Google, in my Google account that I forgot about.
So you show up with still a full tank, you say, see, I did it good.
Well, I didn't show up with a full tank, but I showed up with fuel. And I think she thought that maybe I did it the right way. Well, I told on myself as usual when she was reprimanding me or whatever you want to call it about the fuel mileage. And I ended up telling on myself. And she goes, what? You put more money in there than what I gave you? And now I was in more trouble.
bad boy, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when she catches you?
She was right. I just had to figure it out the hard way. So, she is smart. She's very capable. I respect her. And I like her. I like her a lot. And she likes me because I'm a nice guy. I've been treating her with respect. I'm not, you know, I've not been doing the whole bad boy thing.
All right.
She's smart enough to catch on to that crap, too, because she's like, you know, I just, you know, I don't know.
Well, guess what? We are now 12 minutes away from the three-hour mark, and I know how you complain about uploading it when it's that close.
Yeah, my internet sucks right now, so I'm not going to be able to upload it till maybe tomorrow. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, sometime next week or whatever.
Yes, every Sunday from 7 to 9, unless we go over. You can find our podcast at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything.
Sometimes we're only from 7 to 8 if we don't have enough dice.
Right. Golf. I guess I'm going to have to learn how to play golf. All right. Till next time at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Well,
we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons on occasion, maybe. Everything including Dungeons and Dragons, but we prefer not to.
Because it's boring talking about D&D games to even D&D players.
I don't know. Jeannie thought it was fascinating.
Did she really?
Well,
the
yeah.
description of the game, the nature of the game, but to actually describe a game that was played. I had a +30 Vulpar sword, and I killed 1,000 orcs in 3 swings, and I rolled a double 20 and wiped out the dragon. It was wonderful.
Dork.
Yeah. You idiot!
Yeah, see, I didn't do that to her. I described the nature of the game. The nature of the game is actually pretty interesting. It's fun when you play it, but it's not something where you write a book about one of the adventures you had like so many people have done. Those are the most boringest books and stories you can imagine.
Okay. Next week's podcast. Magic the Gathering. And why it is evil or not evil.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I'm going to have to learn that game for her son's sake, and there's parallel games. Pokemon, and I forget what it's called. Darn it, my kids play it. Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, see, you're into that. So I'll let that be your department.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Okay.
So I could probably bring on a guest host because he's into Yu-Gi-Oh! And he's local.
There you go. Hey, right. Somebody just
yeah, right, bye.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm going to get a large pepperoni with mushrooms. Green pepper.
All right.
Yeah, I got a
coupon. It'll be right there in 3 seconds.
Yeah, I got a coupon for the free breadsticks.
Yeah. That's with the $300 pizza. You ready?
Do I have the wrong number?
Is that the right number to me?
You're lucky you caught us. We was just about to end the podcast, and we normally don't go this long. But
yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be right over to do donuts in your yard.
I knew that was you.
I was just thinking, cool.
You should have called in 2 hours ago. What's up with you?
It just crossed my mind. I don't know what I was looking at online. Oh, I was looking at the word kinesthetic. So figure that out.
I figured you were driving through town and you saw me parked by the Chamber of Commerce.
Wait, say that again?
I figured you were driving through town and you saw me parked at the Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, I bet you he's doing the podcast still.
Is that where you're at?
Yeah, actually.
What an amazing time we live in. I'm standing at a urinal in Kansas City.
Nice.
Yeah, like we wanted to know that. That's TMI, you know.
So what
That's
did I
okay.
miss?
This has been a TMI podcast anyways.
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know that you missed a whole lot. We started out talking about, I started out talking about relationships going from our last podcast because I had a monologue, so I just did a continuation of the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Then David Irish.
Who did you get mono from?
Well, I'm not poly anymore, so I guess I would be mono.
You're not poly anymore. You must be polyunsaturated.
Yes, I'm polyunsaturated. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway,
okay. Where before you were polysaturated because you were having so much. I just gave myself the chills.
Right.
You know, I bet you do that a lot.
So you were talking about relationships.
Yeah, then David Irish clicked in and we started talking about health. We talked about that actually while pretty much the whole time David was online with a few variations. And then he left. Pardon?
What nationality is he?
Irish.
Oh, I don't know. Irish, maybe?
he's actually not just Irish. He's got other things, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm taking a drink of water. This is not dead air. I'm just drinking.
No problem. We go down different rabbit holes and then jump over to a different rabbit hole and dig another one, you know. So, you know, we talk about all kinds of weird stuff.
Listen to Dave laughing. Yeah, well, that's what you get for being polyunsaturated, all them rabbit holes.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, I think it's more of an ADD thing.
So are you giving Coast to Coast a run for their money?
Not yet.
Well, yeah, we're
maybe
less boring than they are.
You what? What'd you say, David?
We're less boring than they are.
We're less boring
than
they are.
They must be pretty boring.
I don't really listen to them. So.
I'll tell you how to get this party started. I'm going to start counting. I'll say the first number. Dave, you say the next number that would come in succession. And then Kano, you're next. And then back to me. It's going to be awesome. You ready? One. That's you, Dave. You're two.
Which David?
It's,
you weren't clear on that.
It's really hard to do a great show. With a retard.
Well, you know what? We've got 3 minutes to wrap this up, or Kano's going to have trouble uploading it.
All right. Well, you guys better wrap it up.
All right. Hey.
Hey.
Sunday at 7.
Sunday at 7.
Sunday at 7.
Usually till 9.
Sunday.
If we're bored, if we're boring, we'll probably wrap it up at 8.
Yeah.
We're more likely to shift it all the way to 10.
Yeah.
Well, keep it like working.
Keep
going. You got to flex some muscles.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap
well,
it up.
Our show has been sponsored by... Who is
Trucker
the show been sponsored by?
Well, actually, I'm the only sponsor, so... TruckerDay.com.
The show has been sponsored by Kano Drano Opener. Kano Drano Opener. Kano Lubricant.
Yes!
Oh, God.
Say no to Kano in your sister's bedroom.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, you can find us at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything, including Dungeons & Dragons, I guess, now.
What a great website.
Yes.
DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. That's a million-dollar.com name.
Yeah, if you can know how to spell it. I can't even spell it, so I also bought DDD-podcast.com, so I can
That's
go to that one.
Great.
Because I can't spell.
Now that's, that's different than the Dungeons & Dragons sites. That's large-breasted women, right? What is it again? DDD.
Triple D.
Yo, 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 Triple D in the house.
Good morning.
Yeah.
All right, I'm all over the place.
Right.
Find out.
Yeah, so are we. So, yeah, you have to call in next week at 7. We can be all over the place and be crazy.
I'd like to call in next week and tell you about a weird phenomenon I noticed that happened, something that happened where I live.
Okay.
Yep, and... I discovered it this morning, last night. There was some weird, I didn't know if they were doing some kind of, are there any quarries around here? I don't know. Close. Well, yeah, there is kind of on 39, right? Because everything, there was like a light shaking, a true rumbling. And I came out in the morning and all the barbed wire fences were leaned in towards the house, all the way around the house. And they weren't like that. I was working out in the field the day before yesterday.
So I don't know what that was. I was minding my own business. I was out there, and I was, I had a, you know what I mean,
that kind of thing. And then I came out.
Right.
So, and
alien
I got
activity.
Also, my hair is straight, but now I got an afro, so I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. It's all true.
Yeah.
Take care, guys.
All right, party on.
Bye.
All right, bye. See you later, David.
Yep, yep. I'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow, probably.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to bed. Good night.